Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You better believe it, coming down the tracks here on CBS Sports Radio, coast to coast, internationally known and listened to, the Pony Express, Andrew Filippone, SiriusXM Channel 206, the radio.com app, which is free to download to your smartphone devices, CBSSportsRadio.com, CBS Sports app, we're everywhere. AM, FM affiliates all over the United States, up in Alaska, down in Hawaii, all points in between. As we talk college football today, week 12 of the college football season, week whatever for a lot of teams, for Utah, who plays tonight against number 20 USC, it's week one. In one of the most bizarre, strange college football seasons of all time. We're talking about that, and we're set to be joined in a couple minutes by a former Oklahoma player to preview Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. We start every hour on Saturdays with a look at the scoreboard because my goal is to keep you informed on what's going on so you don't feel like you need to scan the dial for these games. The games that matter, the games that count, I'll let you know what's happening. Right now, we have six top 25 games in progress. One matchup including top 25 teams going head-to-head. The top 25 head-to-head matchup is number 10 Wisconsin at number 19 Northwestern. The score is 7-7. Graham Mertz, the young Wisconsin, very talented quarterback, just threw his second interception. He threw it right at a Northwestern safety. The game could have been 14-0, but Northwestern botched a snap, fumbled the ball out of the end zone. It went for a touchback when they were at the Wisconsin 1. So instead of going up 14-0, they didn't get any points. Wisconsin took the ball and scored, so it's 7-7. This game is closing in on halftime, a minute and 20 to go in the first half in Evanston. Number 7, Cincinnati, just kicked a field goal to cut into Central Florida's lead. They trail the Golden Knights 14-13, 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. This game has been played to Cincinnati's pace. Central Florida's a team that scores a ton of points. They're number one in America in total offense. They average 600 yards a game. So they want to win games in the 50s. Cincinnati's got, you know, one of the better defenses in America, number three in scoring defense. So it's 14-13 there, 3 minutes to go until halftime. Central Florida does have the ball. Upset alert in Eugene. Now, this happened last week, too. Number 11, Oregon trails UCLA 21-17. Oregon was down last week to Washington State 19-7 at the half. They ended up winning by double digits. UCLA has a defensive touchdown, which is a recipe for an upset. Remember, this is Chip Kelly at UCLA now going back to Oregon. No more Justin Herbert at Oregon. He's obviously with the Chargers now. So Oregon 2-0. They've lost some players to opt out. They haven't looked all that impressive yet this year. They've got the ball at the UCLA 39-yard line, under a minute to go. They trail 21-17. More competitive game than a lot of us thought in Tuscaloosa. Alabama playing its first game since Halloween. The number one ranked Crimson Tide up on Kentucky, 14-3. 7:22 to go in the second quarter. Kentucky has the ball in Alabama territory. Mac Jones, 7 of 8 with a touchdown pass. Devontae Smith, who else, has a 10-yard touchdown catch. He had five in Alabama's last game against Mississippi State. 7:54 to go, second quarter. Iowa State trying to get one game closer to the Big 12 championship game. They control their own destiny. They lead Kansas State 14-0. K-State's lost two in a row since they got up to number 16 in the polls. And Iowa State has the ball right now at the Wildcats 21-yard line, under 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. And one more score. This one's a blowout. Number 8, BYU, third quarter up on North Alabama, 42-7. Andrew Filippone coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. We are pleased to be joined right now by Gabe Eichard, former Oklahoma player. He now hosts a show on Big 12 radio. He also hosts a podcast, The OU Breakdown. He's heard on the Oklahoma Sooners radio network, but what I like about Gabe is that he calls it down the middle. He's very objective. He's not going to give us a homer take on the big game of the day, this night game between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Game day was there. Bedlam, Oklahoma trying to hang on here and try to win a sixth straight Big 12 championship. Oklahoma State, they're in a position where, other than their loss to Texas, they can still very much win the Big 12, and they've got very slim hopes of getting into the college football playoff. Gabe, what's interesting about this matchup, this is weird, both quarterbacks are named Spencer. This might be a first. Spencer Sanders for Oklahoma State, Spencer Rattler for Oklahoma. Which Spencer is playing better right now?
I think you got to go with Spencer Rattler right now, and I know his last performance was against Kansas, and he did have a silly mistake in that football game with an early interception, but he really has kind of solved his turnover issues that plagued him early in the season, and frankly, are one of the big reasons that Oklahoma's sitting here with two losses. Spencer Sanders, and I want to be clear, it's not all Spencer Sanders' fault, right? I think they've really struggled to protect them. Oklahoma State's offensive line, they had a couple guys go down for the year early in the season. They've had to shuffle a lot of guys. I think they have one or two guys playing out of position, in my opinion. They have not done a good job protecting Spencer Sanders, but he also hasn't done a good job of making decisions with the football. So those two things, that combination, it has not been good for Spencer Sanders, and he is going to have to play his best game of the year for them to come to Norman and win, and we'll see if he can do it.
How do you think Rattler solved, the Oklahoma quarterback solved his turnover issues, Gabe? What has he done to do that?
Well, I really do think that the running game getting going has been as big as anything, like as big as any factor. Ramondre Stevenson comes back off the suspension, and he has breathed life into Oklahoma's running game. And the reason I think that's been so important for Spencer Rattler is it has allowed him to play in more play action situations, more max protection situations, where he's getting a clean pocket and then getting to really push the ball down the field. And he excels at that. I mean, you've seen the arm talent. The kid has spectacular arm strength and even better touch. I mean, he has an NFL arm already. He really does. But I think the key has been keeping him comfortable in the pocket. He had made some bad decisions when he had been on the move or been under pressure. And Oklahoma's offensive line, they've started to play better. And it's all tied together in my mind. That running game got going. That offensive line got more confidence. They started protecting him better, putting him in better situations, especially when you're talking about situational football, third and manageable. And he's really excelled in those situations. So I think it's all kind of connected for them offensively.
Do you feel like Oklahoma State's defense is the type of defense, though, that can get him to revert back to bad habits, Gabe?
Yeah, that's the question, right? And I do think that's why the key to this game offensively for Oklahoma is the run game. They have run the ball extremely well against Oklahoma State the last several years. I think it's four out of the last six. They've run for like 300 yards. Mm-hmm. And I know that's hard to believe, but those are the type of rushing days Oklahoma has put together against Oklahoma State. Last year, 283 yards rushing.
Wow.
And they ran the GT counter play. They just ran it a couple different variations, and Oklahoma State had no answer for it. So I don't expect them to run it that well, because I do think this Oklahoma State defense, they've got players at all three levels. They're experienced. They're physical. Maybe most importantly, they're playing with a ton of confidence. A ton of confidence. So I think it's going to be a little more tough sledding for Oklahoma in the running game. But that's the key offensively. If Oklahoma State can slow down OU's running game, put them in third long situations, make Spencer Rattler go through his reads while Oklahoma State's got their pressure packages with Trace Ford roaming around at that spinner position, Calvin Bundage coming in the game as kind of a specialty rusher in those situations, it's going to be interesting. And I could see, I do think that this is going to be one of the lower scoring bedlams in recent memory, because it wouldn't shock me to see both teams be a little conservative with their play calling and lean on their defenses, because I know Oklahoma State thinks the defense is the strength of their team. And I think Oklahoma is starting to find a lot more confidence in their defensive unit as well. So it's going to be really, really interesting.
Gabe Eichert joining us from SiriusXM Big 12 Radio. You can listen to it up the dial from us on channel 375. Also, Oklahoma, the OU Breakdown podcast, and Oklahoma analyst. You hear him on broadcast for them. Does a great job. And kickoff is a couple hours away, about 2.5 hours away from Bedlam. You mentioned Oklahoma's been able to run the ball better here. The last couple of quarterbacks at Oklahoma, Gabe, Hurts was so involved in the run game. Murray was so involved in the run game. Is Rattler used as a runner like those two quarterbacks that preceded him?
No, he's certainly not used like Jalen Hurts. And Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray were not used like Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was, what, the second leading rusher in the Big 12 last year?
Yeah.
I think. I mean, he got an unbelievable amount of carries, and that was Lincoln Riley adjusting his offense to his personnel, right? Spencer Rattler is not going to do that. Now, at points in time this season, he has shown a little more wiggle than we thought he had. I mean, he's got some athleticism. He can keep it in a zone read or a GT counter read situation and keep a defense honest. The best thing he does with his legs is in the scramble situation. And not necessarily going and picking up first downs. He does that well. I mean, he's got more athleticism than you think he does. But he does a good job of when he gets out of the pocket, he buys time with his legs and keeps his eyes downfield. And OU's had some big plays in the passing game this year with him doing that. And that's he does that at a high level. He does some high-level things when he is on the move and in those scramble situations. So he is by no means. You're not going to see OU dial up QB power five times in this game. You're just not. But he can keep a defense honest, and he's got good athleticism. But that athleticism, in my mind, is more of a weapon when he's extending plays and keeping his eyes downfield and hitting guys down the field.
Rattler came out of the Texas game for performance and then went back in, and everybody knows what happened who follows college football from there. How long of a leash do you think he has in a game like this, Gabe? Is it his game to lose?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. The only way he's coming out of this football game is if he gets injured, in my opinion. Yeah, we've been calling it, you know, the people that cover the team, us on the radio broadcast, we've been calling it the timeout that he was put in.
Yeah.
In the Texas game, because that really was what it was. I mean, Lincoln Riley was like, hey, you are not going to make these mistakes. Sit over here on the sideline and think about what you've done. And to Spencer Rattler's credit, he's been pretty dang good ever since Lincoln Riley put him in that timeout. He was solid in that win against Texas and has played at a really high level the last several games. Now, he got banged up a little bit in the Kansas game, took a shot right on his hip, but all indications are he's 100%. He's ready to spin it. And, yeah, this is his football team. There's no doubt. I'm not really sure what he would have to do to get pulled out of this game. It'd have to be pretty bad, though.
How about the Oklahoma defense? What's your confidence level in that unit going into the game? Total yards over 500 a game. I mean, the numbers aren't great. It is Big 12 football, so maybe you take some of it with a grain of salt. What is the status of Oklahoma's defense going into this big game tonight, Gabe?
I think they're playing with a ton of confidence.
Okay.
Now, they've been really, really good in their last three football games. And that being said, they haven't played an offense worth anything in their last three football games. I mean, it's been Kansas, Texas Tech, and TCU. Not exactly offensive juggernauts right now in the Big 12 Conference. But the surprising part and the part that has a lot of people around the program excited is the play of the defensive line. They are playing extremely disruptive football up front. They are penetrating. They are constantly stemming before the snap. They're slanting. They're angling. It is a headache playing against them right now with all the things they're doing from a movement standpoint defensively. And they've gotten a lot more confident in those movements. And I think Ronnie Perkins coming back clearly was a huge addition. He's their best player on defense, there's no doubt. But a guy I think that could have a big role in this football game is Perrion Winfrey. He'll be the big guy in the middle of Oklahoma's defensive line. He'll be wearing number 8. He's had some splash plays this year, and he's done it with quickness. He's got good size. He's got good power, but his quickness is what stands out. I don't think Oklahoma State's interior offensive line, center and guard and guard, I don't think they're particularly quick. I don't think they're particularly good. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I think Perrion Winfrey could have a big impact in this game, making plays in the interior defensive line for Oklahoma. But their defense is playing better. I mean, you're starting to see they're climbing the ranks in the conference. When you look at the statistics, and they're feeling a lot better about where they're at.
Former Sooner Gabe Eichard with us from SiriusXM Big 12 Radio, the OU podcast breakdown, the OU breakdown. And we're talking about the game tonight, Bedlam, between number 14 Oklahoma State and number 18 Oklahoma. A very important game, not just in the Big 12 Conference, but nationally here on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Filippone with you. The Oak State offensive line issues that you just touched on, is that why Chuba Hubbard has come down back down to earth this year, Gabe? I mean, he was shot last year, led the nation in rushing, was incredible. What's going on with Oklahoma State's running back this year?
Yeah, I think the root of most of the problems are, and some people early in the year were saying, hey, Chuba's running tentative, he's thinking about his NFL future. Well, you're going to look like you're running tentative when guys are in the backfield. I mean, that's just how it works. They have not been particularly clean in the run game at times. Now, he still had some explosive ones, don't get me wrong, and that's why Oklahoma, they're going to need to be gap sound defensively. And, you know, there can be some creases with all the movement that Oklahoma does up front on defense. And Chuba will take advantage of that. This guy still has speed. Now, he got banged up. He needed the bye week heading in this game. But all indications are he's going to be ready to roll. And this is the big stage, ABC prime time.
Yeah.
College game day's in Norman. Chuba Hubbard's going to want to make his mark on this football game. But the interesting thing about it is L.D. Brown, the other running back for Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
He's actually looked like the more dynamic guy.
I would agree
in
with
the
that.
Backfield
I would agree with
him.
That.
I mean, he's averaging over 6 yards a carry. He's had some long runs for Oklahoma State this year, especially in big games. So Oklahoma is going to have to be buttoned up defensively, gap sound, aggressive, disruptive at the line of scrimmage. Because if you let either one of these backs, Chuba Hubbard or L.D. Brown, get going downhill, you're going to have problems. They're talented, man. They are really talented. It's arguably the best duo of running backs in the country.
Well, let me get back to Spencer Sanders, the Oklahoma State quarterback. We started the conversation with the two quarterbacks. Yeah, he won the Freshman of the Year award in the Big 12 last year. He got hurt in the Tulsa game, and he really hasn't done much. He hasn't played well since. Would he keep defensive coordinators up at night thinking more about him as with his arm, Gabe, or more with his legs? Do you think he's more of a threat to beat you on the run, or do you think he's more of a threat to beat you down the field with his arm?
I think he's definitely, if you're talking about losing sleep, I think it's the legs.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the athleticism, because of the spontaneous playmaking ability, right? When things break down, he can take off. He does have good speed. As a passer, he really doesn't scare you. The guy that scares you is Tylan Wallace, right? A guy that can just make plays even when he's covered. The one thing about Spencer Sanders, and you'll notice this, anyone that's about to watch this game, he stares at wide receivers. I mean, sometimes you are just dumbfounded how bad he is at just staring at guys right before he's delivering them the football. And that puts him in some bad spots. It really does. So I think he's got good velocity on the ball. He's not extremely accurate, but he's not just erratic. His problem as a passer is his decision making. It feels like he doesn't really read it out. It feels like he makes decisions before the ball is snapped and just goes there with the football, no matter what the coverage is, no matter what he's seeing. And if you play quarterback that way, especially when you're playing good teams, it's not going to go well. And we've seen some of those moments for Spencer Sanders. Now, I will say this. In that Kansas State game, he looked as – conservative as I've ever seen him.
Okay.
He looked like he was out there terrified to make a mistake. And he didn't make any mistakes. He didn't. But he can't play that way. He's got to be good for them to win this game. Hell, he may even have to be great for them to win this game. He cannot play scared in Oklahoma State win this football game. It's just not going to happen. So we've got to see his best game as an Oklahoma State Cowboy.
Bedlam, Oklahoma's won five straight Big 12 titles, and this is a big one, number 14 Oak State at number 18 Oklahoma. Gabe Eichert finishing up with us here from Big 12 Radio, Sirius XM Channel 375, the former Sooner. All right, Gabe, the spread is a touchdown in this game. Oklahoma's favored. They are at home. What do you think? Do you have a great feeling about this game? Do you think that Oklahoma's clearly the better team in this matchup, or do you think this is a game that Oklahoma State, even though they're on the road, will win?
I think from a point spread perspective, I like Oklahoma State.
Okay.
I like Oklahoma to win the football game, but in this, you know, my opinion on this kind of shaped from my personal experiences playing in this game.
Yeah.
You know, I played in three games that against Oklahoma State that came down to the wire. You know, one we won on the last drive of the game, one we won in overtime, the other one we got to stop on the last drive of the game to win. So, like, I've been in some close bedlams, and we felt like we were the better team in all of them. So, I think it's going to be a close football game. I think it's going to be more of a defensive struggle than we're used to seeing. I mean, we're used to seeing this game decided in the 50. I think this is a game that can be decided in the high 20s or low 30s. So, I think we're going to see maybe the most conservative play calling we've seen in a bedlam in a long time. And I think that's going to show up on the scoreboard. The one thing that makes me like Oklahoma is the offensive line. I think that Oklahoma's offensive line is significantly better than Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma State, at every other position group, I think they match up pretty dang well. I really do. I think Oklahoma State's got great skill players on offense. They've got really good guys at all three levels on defense. They've got experience. They're physical. They're confident. But I think the difference is going to be that Oklahoma's defensive line controls things in this football game. And I like Oklahoma something like 31-24, 31-27, something like that. So if I was gambling on it, I'd take Oklahoma State to cover. But you never know with Bedlam. It's always full of surprises.
Gabe Eichert, Big 12 Radio, great stuff there on a game that starts in about 2 hours' time. Bedlam, one of the best rivalry names that we've got in college sports. Wisconsin and Northwestern are at the half, with Northwestern leading the Badgers. Alabama up on Kentucky 21-3. So a lot going on. Coming up, I want to talk about the Saints' decision moving forward now that Drew Brees has been placed on the injured reserve. Who's the best quarterback to lead them? It's Andrew Filippone, the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS Sports Radio. Here's your host, Andrew Filippone.
So I think that the Saints' decision to go with Taysom Hill isn't all that surprising. The Saints were the right team for Jameis Winston, but Jameis Winston was never the right quarterback for Sean Payton. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Sean Payton wants a quarterback that is going to execute the play call. There's a lot of ego in Sean Payton. And he wants a quarterback that is going to run his offense. Okay? Drew Brees does that, clearly. Teddy Bridgewater was the type of guy who could do that. Accurate passer. Not a big playmaker. Distributor. Get the ball out fast. Short, intermediate throws. Accurate with the ball. You don't get big plays from Teddy Bridgewater. He's never had more than 14 touchdowns in a season. But he went 5-0 as Saints starting quarterback. Jameis Winston, I think it's good for him that he's in the Saints cocoon and he's learning. It's getting reinforced into him how to play the quarterback position differently, because 30 interceptions in a season is just unacceptable. Like, he needs to evolve as a quarterback in order to get another chance. Taysom Hill signed a 2-year, $21 million extension. Jameis Winston is there for what, $1 million? I mean, it's all there for you. Sean Payton likes Taysom Hill more than Jameis Winston. Even though Hill is 30 years old and has been used as a special teams player, a tight end, a wide receiver, and a quarterback, Payton tells people that Hill can be a franchise quarterback. He has a game plan for Hill that he thinks Hill can execute. Now, it's not going to look the way it did with Bridgewater and Breeze, but Payton obviously trusts Taysom Hill to execute whatever game plan the Saints are going to come up with against the Falcons tomorrow. With Jameis is going to go off script, and he's going to make some plays, and he's also going to make some plays for the other team. And I don't think Sean Payton wants to do that right now. So that's why Hill is going to start. And I'm going to tell you something about this chance for Taysom Hill. And I mean this. I think it's on the back of Sean Payton's mind that he lost a playoff game at home with Drew Brees last year to Minnesota. And Drew Brees got outplayed by Kirk Cousins in that game in the Superdome. Brees is out for a minimum of 3 games. Falcons, Broncos, Falcons. Bad defenses. In Denver's case, a quarterback in an offense that shouldn't be able to keep up with the Saints. It is likely that Hill will go 3-0 in those games. I am making this prediction. If Hill plays well, and it's going to be different because there's going to be more dual threat, there's going to be more run option, there's going to be... Peyton has had an offensive game plan for Hill. I guarantee it. During the pandemic, all the time off in the offseason, I guarantee you that Sean Payton built an offense for Taysom Hill, just in case. And he's going to get a chance to roll it out this weekend. And I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's a given. If Hill plays well, we see Payton try to shoehorn in and force Hill in when Drew Brees is playing well. He gave him the money. He believes in the player. Brees is 41 years old. Let the Saints down in the playoffs last year against the Vikings. Do not be surprised if Hill is given an opportunity to keep the job. Unlike Teddy Bridgewater last year, who was a stopgap until Brees got healthy, I think there's a real chance that Hill keeps the job until he proves to Sean Payton and everyone else that he can't play, even when Drew Brees is healthy. Remember that I said that, because I think there's a real chance that happens. You want to weigh in on what the Saints should do at quarterback? Should it be Taysom Hill's job? Do you think Jameis Winston's getting a raw deal? 855-212-4. CBS is the number, 855-212-4227. That number is sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. We've got 6 top 25 college football games in progress right now. We've got one game involving 2 top 25 teams going head-to-head. We had some memorable games in the earlier window, including a close one in Columbus. With an update on all of that, it's time for the latest sports update with Erica Herskowitz.
All right. Yeah.
You're listening to the Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
And thanks to everybody out there who's listened so far today. You can always go to radio.com, download that app, and show gets archived, podcasted there. We've talked a lot today about the Clemson, Florida State postponement, Ohio State, as they continue to remain atop the Big Ten. Indiana gave them more than they could handle. As far as the NFL goes, Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, has a Waterloo game tomorrow. I mean, if he loses that at home to the Titans, that would be a missed opportunity for revenge. I think he is at a crossroads right now. Which way does his career go? Is he going to be an all-time one-hit wonder? Is he going to develop beyond more than just a runner? I mean, that's a big game tomorrow against the Titans. Another important game, because I think right now, and I'm in Pittsburgh, by the way, full disclosure. Right now, the Steelers are 9-0, but I think the majority of football analysts still believe the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. And I don't disagree with that. I've watched the Steelers up close every week. I follow Kansas City, too, because you have to do that as part of the job. And the Chiefs have won, what, 18 of 19 games? I mean, there's a reason why. They've got the best quarterback. They won last year's Super Bowl. They get the benefit of the doubt. But what's going to be interesting about this game against the Raiders tomorrow night is Kansas City has a very obvious, apparent weakness. There's a very obvious flaw with the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't do well against the run. And when they got beat in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago, it was because New England ran the ball well, kept the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, got a big lead in the first half. The game went to overtime because Mahomes is Mahomes, but they wouldn't have been in position to win the game if they had not run the ball on Kansas City early, milked so much clock, built themselves a lead, and then they got the ball first in overtime, and the rest is history. The Raiders beat the Chiefs earlier this year, and the way they did it was by running the ball more than passing it. 35 rushing attempts, 31 pass attempts. Derek Carr played a pretty clean game. Didn't do anything overwhelmingly good, just played a smart game. And, you know, the Raiders, I think they are offensively, they've got the type of offense that neutralizes the Chiefs' offense. Between Jacobs and Booker, they run the ball effectively, and they can keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. What the Chiefs are going to have to figure out is, and they were not a good team against the run last year either, so this is not a one-time thing. They've gotten worse this year, and it hasn't really resulted in catastrophe. They're 8-1. But the Raiders, I think, are possibly, they've got the potential to show the blueprint again tomorrow night. It is so rare, and it is a pass-first league. You win by throwing the ball. It's not the best running back that wins. There's a reason why the Chiefs are in the position they're in. And teams with great running backs, like the Cowboys with Elliott, who they gave a lot of money to, the Panthers with McCaffrey, even the Vikings with Dalvin Cook, for as good as he's been, they still have a losing record. There's a reason why you pay the quarterback, and the teams with the best quarterbacks tend to win the most. It is a league with the way the rules are. It's built towards the teams that pass the ball the best and defend the pass the best win. But that doesn't mean that the run is irrelevant. And the Chiefs, it is almost impossible to be this bad against the run and win the Super Bowl. The Colts did it in 2006. They were dead last in the league against the run, and they won the Super Bowl. That was Peyton Manning's lone Super Bowl win in Indy. But a couple of things happened for them that made their regular season ranking misleading. So the Colts were the worst team against the run that year. But a lot of that season, a big number of games in that season, they were without Bob Sanders, who Bob Sanders is going to go down as a player that if he had stayed healthy, he would have ended up in the Hall of Fame. Bob Sanders, I think, and we don't do this with defensive players the way we do it with offensive players. Bob Sanders, to me, is like the Terrell Davis of defensive players. A guy that when he played, I'd put him in the same, when he was actually out there, I'd put him in the same class as Ed Reed and Polamalu. But he almost never played. He got healthy at the end of the year for the Colts that season. They also brought in Booger McFarland, who now is the butt of a lot of jokes. I get it, as a broadcaster. But he came over and solidified the middle up front for them. And so the Colts were ranked at the bottom of the league, but they got a shot in the arm on the back end and up front that changed their defense. And that was a big reason why they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, because Peyton Manning put up video game numbers. They played defense. I don't know where that shot in the arm comes from for the Chiefs, and they've been able to mask over it. But this is, to me, the Chiefs, we're going to find out a lot about them beginning tomorrow night, because they have a very difficult schedule the rest of the way. And they can prove to everyone that they are for sure the team to beat and not the Steelers in the AFC and in the entire NFL with the way they perform in their next few games. Because it's the Raiders avenging a loss tomorrow. They still have road games against the Saints and the Buccaneers. They still have to make a trip to Miami. And the Dolphins haven't lost since Tua went in. And their defense, outside of the way they played in Arizona, their defense has been one of the best in football this year. So we're going to discover, we think we know a lot about Kansas City. We're going to know even more in the next few games about them. And it'll be interesting, even if the Chiefs lose some of those games, do analysts just say, well, because they won the Super Bowl last year, it doesn't really matter what they do in the regular season? I buy that to an extent. I think they get a mulligan for the way they played against the Raiders in the first game of the year, like they were bored. You know, that game they didn't really take seriously. You know, they're thinking about the finish line and getting back to the playoffs. They're thinking about the macro, not the micro. I get all that. The Raiders have run the ball well. Both of those guys, Booker and Jacobs, were great against the Broncos last week. Carr barely needed to pass the ball. They won with turnovers and the run. They're not going to get turnovers from Kansas City. But if they run the ball, they can beat them again. Because right now, that's the Achilles heel. You would think Kansas City plays with the lead so much, teams wouldn't really run the ball on them. But they have, and they've done well. And I don't see how the Chiefs just flip that switch and all of a sudden become a better run team. They would be one of the worst run defenses in NFL history to win the Super Bowl if they stay where they are right now. And are guys coming back from injury to improve that unit in that respect? Chris Jones. I mean, he's a big deal for them. We'll see over the second half of the season how he performs and how he plays. But I don't look at, and I know the Raiders had all this COVID protocol stuff this week, and that is affected for sure, the odds makers' view on this game. The line moved. The line is all the way up to 8 for Chiefs-Raiders. The Chiefs will get revenge. They'll win the game, but I think the Raiders will give them everything they can handle, and I think they'll continue to give you a book on the best way to play games against Kansas City that are winnable. And Mahomes, I think we're going to get to a point with Mahomes where he's going to be like LeBron James. The writers, the voters could give him the MVP every year, but they almost feel bad doing it. They'll look for narratives and storylines somewhere else, like Russell Wilson never getting an MVP vote, stuff like that. Hey, thanks to everyone who listened to the show today. Be back next week, same time, 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 to 3 Pacific. Big shout out to Connor producing this first show. Great job. The Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.